Why am I here?
Okay, that's a question we've all asked ourselves from time to time. So why are any of us here? Of course, a lot of you are here because I asked you to on Facebook. So thanks for that. I appreciate it. But I wanted to give a message today about your dreams, your goals in life, your purpose in life, and kind of build upon the message that was given last week about love. Now, I'm in the graphic design field, and one of my strengths, some people say it's a gift, but we'll just go for strengths right now, is that I have the ability to listen to what people talk about and try to help them project into the future of what they want to be, to build that image in their head so they have something to build towards in the future. In graphic design, whether it's a logo design or a website, I try to build a website of where they want their business to be in 5 years, not where they are right now. Because really, as we're trying to achieve goals, the goal is out here. The talk today is actually the hero's spiritual journey and other dreams. So how does that connect with the message and the meaning of life? Well, who here is familiar with Joseph Campbell? Anyone? Oh, great. Okay, if you're not, in a nutshell, Joseph Campbell studied the world's religions and mythologies and discovered a pattern of how they told stories. And he defined the pattern, and it showed how most characters followed this path and eventually became transformed in some way. This pattern is so globally recognized in all the world's religions and mythologies, at least on a subconscious level, that when you have the movies, nearly every movie shows that hero's journey. So, which tends to kind of ruin films for me now, but I know it's going to happen. But what's important about checking in with mythology and looking back on these old stories? Well, mythological stories that were passed down through generations are designed to explain and teach us how to deal with life in general. Now, you may not think you have anything in common with Perseus who slayed the Kraken, but there is that David and Goliath story. They all kind of relate. There's the small business against the big corporation. But since we've separated ourselves spiritually from in educating ourselves from these myths, we're not always getting these same lessons that we used to get. Mythology, the lessons that you learn are designed to teach you how to blend the spiritual with the physical, with the different lessons, stories, and parables. So we can take this knowledge and the wisdom that's in the various mythologies and build upon it and expand who you are, how you help others, and how you change the world around you, even if in small circles. From Ulysses and the Odyssey, from Jonah and the Whale, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, and even Jake Sully in the movie Avatar, and you and me. I mean, we've all gone on this hero's journey in some way, maybe not even realize we were doing it. So do you know what drew me to Unity? No matter where you are in your spiritual path, you're welcome here. I was like, that's pretty cool. I like that. Because I know I don't have stuff in common with a lot of people around here. So I think I'm kind of weird. Well, because I've been in a spiritual path my whole life, since I remember when I was 14, when I decided my parents had been taking us to the Unitarian Church, and I went to the Sunday school group after about four years of being gone. They were too weird, man. The kids in the group, they were like cussing and spilling stuff. I was like, this isn't church. That's not right. You can't cuss in church. I just wasn't ready for it. But I was a trumpet player down in Central Arkansas, and I got pretty good, and I got invited to a lot of churches to play. I made a lot of cash, too. I was really shocked. I was just going to play. People kept slipping me envelopes. I'm like, all right, sign me up again. So in Central Arkansas, I got to go to Baptist churches, Presbyterian, Methodist. I got to perform at Catholic masses and at Christmas, and it was just amazing. Of course, Unitarian, like I said. Pentecostals, which, wow, that's fun. Pentecostal churches are fun. If you haven't gone, just go once. I even got to go to a Muslim mosque and a Jewish temple, although I didn't play my horn there. So it was really interesting as I went through these places, nothing ever felt right. I don't know how many of y'all have ever felt, it just didn't quite feel right where you're at. A lot of the messages were good, I heard, and I always gave money back to the church if I really liked the message, and the other ones I just tried not to go back to. I kept searching, and I came up with my own beliefs I felt pretty good about. And I just kind of kept them to myself. I don't know how many of you guys have done the same thing. But I really had a negative outlook towards Protestant religions. And it was just my own problem. And then one day, one of my friends got really sick of me complaining about it because she was Protestant and said, look, I've never tried to convert you, have I? It's like, you know, this is the one time in your life that you can truly say this is all about you, you and God. Quit worrying about what everybody else is saying. Shut up. I was like, okay. All right. Well, a little bit after that, you know, it's like I decided it was time to search again. And I'd heard some things about unity, and I was like, I think I'm going to give this a shot. And it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember when, but there was this big storm that was coming through northwest Arkansas and Springfield, Missouri. I was up in Springfield visiting a friend. Everybody said, don't go. You won't ever make it back. It's going to be the apocalypse. I'm like, whatever. So I got up that one morning of Sunday morning, and I drove back. It was a bad storm up in Springfield, but the roads had been so warm, I just made it back in no time. And I decided, how am I going down? I got one of my buddies on the phone. I said, hey, what's the address to Unity? What time do they open? He told me. So I drove on over here and pulled up, and I was like, it's 10:30, right? It's like, well, there's no cars here yet. That's okay. So I walked up to the door, went to turn the knob. It was locked. I'm like, what the heck? It is Sunday, right? It's like, and I looked on the door, and there was a sign that said, closed due to inclement weather. I'm like, there's nothing on the road. There's no rain, no fog. It was perfectly clear, and I'm like, I wanted to go to church. What is this message? All right. So, it was my first attempt to go into church in 7 years, and nothing. And be fair, all the other churches were closed too, so. Luckily, I didn't go to any of them back then. So, but it was weird. Within like a year, all my friends were from Unity. It was the weirdest thing. And I even got to start going out with this cute Unity member who tolerates me on a daily basis. So that was fun too. So this was a journey. Was I transformed? Was I a guy that sat at home and had his own beliefs and then became a person who's standing in front of you right now, pacing back and forth? Sorry about that. So how does the hero's journey work, and how does that relate to everything? Well, first we get this call to adventure, all right? Ulysses headed home after the Trojan War to be with his family and retake his throne. God ordered Jonah into the city of Nineveh and tell him that they're all sinners. Dorothy heard of a place, or heard this calling for someplace over the rainbow that was going to be this great, better place. Luke had a droid display a distress call from the Princess Leia. He was all enraptured with and turned out to be his sister, but we won't go into that. And then even Jake Sully in the movie Avatar took his brother's place because they needed him. He could have said no, but he wanted to be able to walk again, even if it was in somebody else's body. So what call to adventure have you heard? You don't have to say right now, but you've probably heard at least one in your head at some time. And also, you may have decided, oh, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. I couldn't possibly get that job. I can't take that trip, or whatever it was. So that leads us to the second step in the hero's journey. It's called the refusal of the call, right? Now, there's over 17 steps in the hero's journey. I'm not going to go into detail on all of them, because y'all will be, like, snoozing and stuff. But it's really interesting. I recommend highly that you try to go and see what his book talks about. But what I want you to come away with during this whole thing is a realization that in the hero's journey, if it's spiritual or not, it's something that once you take it, you're transformed in ways that you're only dreaming about right now. And that's what I really enjoy, is helping people achieve these dreams. Of course, the thought of transformation can terrify us completely. We might be thinking about going out of the country, going into the Peace Corps. It's scary but exciting. Obstacles may come up. How many of you, though, have had at one time or another been afraid that if you got that new job, or if you got more physically fit, or you moved into a bigger house, or if you made more money, that your friends or your family would get really kind of weird, resentful, or maybe just not want to hang out with you anymore? Come on. Nobody's ever thought that? If you made a change in your life, that people, you'd lose your friends. Because I have. 3 years ago, some of you may know, I was introduced to a concept called sustainable happiness, or positive psychology. I was stunned. Guaranteed happiness? Come on, what the heck? Someone dies and I'm still going to be happy? That's ridiculous. That's stupid. It's impossible. Okay, this was a hero's journey for me. Concept was given to me. I learned as much as I could about it. And then I found out that I could take a 3-month course from a happiness coach who would take me through a physical, spiritual, and emotional transformation. So the call to adventure was given to me. I could have rejected it. I could have walked away and said, whatever. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy. But I hesitated a little bit. I studied a little bit about it. And I kept coming back to the fact that something was compelling me to try it out. And so I heeded the call. Meanwhile, a friend of mine said, well, what if you do this and you lose all your friends? Up to that point, I hadn't even thought about that. My father even said, I didn't know you were depressed. Others said, that seems kind of superficial to me. Happiness, being walking around all happy all the time, that's ridiculous. And even another looked at me and said, happiness isn't sustainable, only joy endures. Like, it's semantics, whatever. You don't even know what you're talking about. So this is what happens in the hero's journey. At this point, you get supernatural aid. Aid comes from without, from a higher place. Some of us call it synchronicities. As soon as I made my decision, okay, I'm going to do this. Pony up the money. If I don't pony up the money, I wouldn't do it. So this aid appears once you make the commitment. I started having synchronicity. Part of the thing was I was supposed to take this nutritional supplement called Isagenics. It was going to be a lot of money. I had to join a multi-level network and all that kind of stuff. And I started talking about what I was doing, and my chiropractor said, oh, I sell Isagenics. I'll give it to you at cost. Yes. Time started opening up. Money started becoming available. Everybody was very supportive. Everything came along. So and then I passed the first threshold. This you see in movies. It's like someone opening a door and, you know, Dorothy stepping out of her house into the Wizard of Oz and everything goes from black and white into full color. She could have stayed in the house and hid. She didn't. She went out into the full color. I would have done the same thing, I think. I don't know. Anyway, the first threshold is stepping, taking this first step, and really, you've made a commitment, now you're going through. So, my coach, I'm doing a phone, she's coaching me by phone, and the voice on the phone, my first thing says, are you ready for your first session? I was like, oh God. And I said, you bet I am. So, what I consider my true first crossing of the threshold was the very next thing. She says to me over the phone, okay, I want to shift your energy completely right now. I want you to jump in the air 5 times and each time shout, I am happy! Oh, God. Did I mention that I had left work and was in my car and pulled over into the Barnes & Noble parking lot? That's where I was sitting when she told me to do this? So I crossed the threshold, opened the car door, and proceeded to give 5 I am happy jumps. Security guard on the cameras must have been having a great time that day. So what are you willing to do when you take the first step over a threshold? It's hard sometimes. I could have just told her I was doing it. It didn't matter. Well, weeks later, I was in step 5 of the hero's journey. And that's in being in the belly of the whale. Reference back to Jonah and the whale, so on and so forth. This is where you begin transitioning from your old life into your new life. All right, this is the transformation is beginning. I was doing daily journaling. I was doing weekly meetings by phone, Reiki healings, all this weird stuff. I was doing tests and exercises. I was singing in the shower a lot. I was jumping and shouting. But I wasn't sharing everything with everybody around me. So all they saw was me jumping up in the air, singing. They didn't know all this internal stuff that I was doing. It was very different. So they kind of thought it was just being weird. So I wasn't really dealing with it very well. You can ask certain people around that, I was kind of resisting a little bit. It was changing me. I was becoming a new person. And now it's like, I feel uncomfortable. And so it's like, I'd get pissed off when I'm supposed to be happy. And that would make me more money. I'm supposed to be happy. What's going on? And then I was resisting. It's like, no, you can't make me sustainable happy. No, no, no. Don't want to be. All right, it did. I was paying money to do it, so it kind of forced me to do that. Okay, so these are roads of trial. That's another part of the hero's journey. There are ordeals that are transforming you. You go through them each day as you move towards your new goals. We learn how to budget money attending a Dave Ramsey class. Wasn't that painful? All right. We use the presence process to become transformed. Presence process, anybody? Okay, I know there's more people in here that take the presence process. All right. So, we exercise to get in shape. That's hard, too. We become vegans. And it's at this point that we experience three more important steps of Harris' journey. It's love, temptation, and atonement. There's some other language he uses to explain it, but it basically gets down to love, temptation, and atonement. So we come to terms and begin to love what we're becoming or succumb to the temptation of a steak, to the distractions of straying off the path and eating that siren song. The success, if we avoid that temptation, is really a whole process of the spirit overcoming the flesh. We focus on that higher calling that we heard in the beginning. So at that point, we begin an atonement with whatever power we thought was controlling us. In Christianity, sometimes it's called being saved. You release and you let go. In Star Wars, anybody seen Star Wars? You heard of it? Really? No, okay. Well, if you don't know, sorry, you won't understand it. But anyway, in the end of Star Wars, Luke, as Vader is hot on his trail. We're talking episode 4 with the first movie, not the... Anyway. Vader's hot on his trail. He's about to blast him in atoms. Luke closes his eyes, and he lets loose that last volley of torpedoes into the Death Star to destroy it, even if it means he's going to die because he's about to get blasted into atoms. This is the apotheosis. He's released. He's rested before he's reborn. In this final step before he's granted the ultimate boon. What the ultimate boon is in Luke's case, he learned how to use the Force. He was able to combine the spiritual with the physical. So how does that help us in real life? I'm not disowning Death Star anytime soon that I'm aware of. It'd be cool, though. I think. Anyway, not if Darth Vader's going to be my dad. That would be weird. Then again, no. So, how does that help us achieve our dreams and find our higher purpose? Well, mythology shows that it's always darkest before the dawn, before the grail is won, before the fire is given back to mankind, before elixir of life is shared. We have to remember not to give up. It's hard sometimes to get the goals. We get all these blocks. But the boon is worth the journey. And that's what it's all about, is that journey. So when you get the ultimate job you've been wanting, when you get to take the trip around the world, when you buy your dream house, when you get to climb the Half Dome mountain you've been wanting to climb, when you give a presentation, now what? It's time to return to the physical world, all right? You're going to return with the gifts and the knowledge that you've earned. Or you can refuse and stay and keep it all for yourself. Story's done then. You really don't hear many mythologies about that. So at this point, there's usually this magic flight because now you've got to take it back. You have to take what you've learned and share it with others and grow from that experience. The ultimate boon needs to be shared. So you're, again, aided from outside sources. When Perseus slew the Kraken trying to rescue Cassiopeia, I believe that's correct, the gods themselves aided him with weapons, armor, and other gadgets to foil Zeus's plans. So it's important to surround yourself with people that'll support you, right? We know that, but sometimes we don't do that. Because you want to bring this knowledge to everybody of sustainable happiness, of mythology, and of whatever. So you return from your adventure by crossing that final threshold, and it integrates what you've learned, and you become the master of two worlds. In religion and mythology, we often see transcendence, as in like Jesus or Buddha. And it's basically you're getting this balance of the spiritual realm and the material realm, or your inner and outer worlds. You're in peace, you're in harmony, you're working together, you're in balance. This is also, going back to the song that Rita sang a little bit ago, the freedom from fear and failure, even death once you've connected to the spiritual realm. It gives you the freedom to really live now. You can live in the moment. Presence process again. You no longer regret the past. That's where sadness comes from. You're not anxious about the future, where you're worried about something that hasn't happened, probably won't even happen. Now, hopefully we don't have the Wicked Witch of the West or Darth Vader or giant Cyclops chasing after us in real life, but there will be lots of challenges. And you just have to recognize them as challenges and not give up. Ulysses took 10 years to get back to his wife, his family, and get to reclaim the throne in the Odyssey. How many of us get upset when it takes more than 10 seconds for our iPhone to connect to the internet? So, can we learn anything about the hero's journey? Can mythology teach us anything? So you may be on a journey at the moment. You may even be on a journey at the moment that was just you recently recognized. And this is where I want to focus on your craziest dreams. And this is the part that's scary. Going back to the refusal to call, some of them you may think you missed your opportunity. How many think you missed an opportunity? I know I felt like I missed opportunities before, right? I mean, I could have maybe gone on to be an awesome super trumpet player, or I could have, I don't know, whatever. You all know. About 5 years ago, I had a calling. I had a vision of starting an entertainment company where I'd integrate movies and games and television and email and iPhones and all bringing in this piece of entertainment and creating a whole world for people to play in. Go watch the movie, play the game, use your phone. It was awesome. And then I started figuring things out. So, like, I need about $500 million. Pass. Call came a few years after that. Did it again. I discovered that people were calling this thing called transmedia entertainment. I was like, huh, I still need $500 million. Pass. But last month, I thought to myself, why not just go ahead and flesh everything out and package up and sell it? Because I don't have $500 million still. I don't even know how to get that. Well, I started going back over everything, and I said, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I started writing everything down. Guess what? Suddenly, supernatural aid appeared. Completely different situation. I'm talking about my business of graphic design. I'm trying to rebuild some contracts. I'm meeting with a lawyer. I need her to flesh these things out and make it more concrete. And I don't even know how it came up, but she basically said, I said something about online games. And she goes, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of a gamer. And I was like, no, what do you mean? Oh, well, I'm in one of the oldest guilds who play World of Warcraft, and we just got done having a huge conference here in Northwest Arkansas with about 50 people. I'm like, what? And she proceeded to give me all this information of stuff I had no clue about. It was amazing. And then the next day, someone said, oh, have you heard of this transmedia conference out in California and San Francisco? I'm like, no, when is it? She goes, oh, it's in November. I'm like, really? Okay, transmedia, it's the first one ever. Coincidence? Synchronicity? Oh, and my happiness coach is in San Francisco. Did I mention that? More synchronicities. So, crazy wild dreams are about transformation. You might want to gain that ultimate boon, but it's really this entire journey that's going to transform. Hopefully, you'll get to that boon. Now, I want to take you through a meditation. Yes, we have enough time. Where you're going to imagine a future of your wildest dreams, goals, and clarification, maybe, of your purpose. So, we can turn down the lights a little bit. I want you guys to get comfortable. Allow your eyes to close and begin focusing your awareness on your breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in easily and effortlessly. Then breathing out. Each breath allows you to become more relaxed and comfortable. Outside sounds only allow you to go deeper inside. A reminder of how good it is to leave the noise and stress of the outer world and journey into the quiet and peace of your own inner world. And to invite you to take a mental inventory of your body, beginning at the top of your head. Become aware of any tension or tightness you might find, and just give that tension or tightness a color, and let it drain out the tips of your toes and the tips of your fingers. Just allow that tension and tightness to drain away. And moving down your body, bring your attention to your neck and arms. Again, if you find any tension or tightness, just let it drain away. Take your awareness now down along your back, down into your abdomen and pelvic area. Noticing any tightness you find there, just eliminate it. Imagine it just melting away, draining out through the tips of your toes. Notice if there's any tension or tightness in your legs or ankles or feet, and allow that to drain away. Now, imagine you're like a strong and sturdy tree, putting roots down into the ground and allowing those roots to go deeper and deeper, spreading out, connecting you solidly to the earth. Bring your attention to the spot between your eyes, the third eye. Imagine a light there. What color is the light between your eyes? Now imagine that light becoming a beam that extends out into space. Follow that beam as it leaves this building, as it travels above the city, as it continues out. So by looking below, you can make out the entire area. Keep going further and further out into outer space. Notice the curvature of the earth. As you keep going further and further out, you find yourself enveloped by the softness and quiet of space. Notice the big blue-green ball below you with the white clouds wisping around it. Allow yourself to enjoy this perspective for just a moment. Very near you, you see another beam of light coming up from the earth, a different color from the one you followed into space. Move towards it and follow that beam back down to earth. This beam is taking you back to earth 5 years from now, 5 years into the future. Keep following this beam down, noticing the curvature of the earth and geography stretched out below you. As you come closer to the end of the beam, keep noticing where you are. This is where your future self is, 5 years from now. Come into contact with Earth and notice where you are. You feel like you've been here before. Look around. Your future self is waiting for you, waiting to talk with you. As your future self greets you, notice what it's like being with this person. Look around, drink up the environment, notice the colors here. Now is your opportunity to ask whatever questions you'd like of your future self. You might want to know your next step, who you need to be right now in order to move forward, or ask your future self anything that feels right to you. Now, if you haven't begun to, take a moment to listen to your future self's response. I'm going to invite you now to take a deep breath and allow yourself to step into the being of your future self. Allow yourself to merge into this person's body. Experience what it feels like to be this future self. Be aware of how you feel, of how good it feels in your future self's body. What does the world look like through your future self's eyes? Walk around, feeling yourself move as your future self. Notice if there's one particular place in your body where you can feel your future self's power most strongly. This is the power of being your future self. Allow that feeling to expand, filling your whole body into every cell. You may want to touch that place on your body now to anchor that feeling. And know that whenever you wish to connect with your future self, you can touch that place on your body and bring forth these positive, powerful feelings. When you touch that place, these feelings, this experience, will flood your body easily and effortlessly. Now, looking out through your future self's eyes, look at your present day self. What do you notice about your present day self? Looking out through your eyes, what is it you want to tell your present day self? Now take a deep breath, shift your awareness, leaving the body of your future self and becoming your present day self once again. Allow yourself to be fully present in the body of your present day self. As you look back at your future self, notice that this person has a gift for you, a special gift to remind you of who you're becoming and what you're moving towards. As your future self offers you the gift, ask if there's any meaning to it. Is there anything you need to know about it? It's time to leave now. Thank your future self for the wisdom. From now on, the future self will be an inner resource you can use whenever you need to, whenever you seek guidance, whenever you need to know what the next step should be. You can contact your future self, a powerful ally and resource for you. Say goodbye now, knowing that you'll remember everything you need to from this visit. Now find your way back into the beam of light and journey back up, watching the world 5 years in the future grow ever smaller as you move up into space. Again, you see the blue ball below you, clouds swirling about it. And notice that your beam of light has intersected with the first beam and will take you back to this year in this location. Follow the beam of light to the present time Earth. And as you travel down, notice the Earth growing bigger and bigger, moving further down the beam. Notice the geography of the area, the skyline and landscape, and finally come back into the room here. In a few moments, I will count to 3, to 1. At the count of 1, you'll be refreshed and alert, as if you've had the perfect amount of rest, knowing you can remember everything you wish to of this inner journey. 3, coming back now, coming back to the present time, becoming more alert and refreshed. 2, stretching your body, feeling the ground beneath you. And 1, eyes open, refreshed and alert. Now, who feels excited about possibilities? Anyone? We got a couple? Okay. Now, no, you're not locked into this future. This is a future of your choosing. You just decided what is happening. This is possibilities are infinite. The universe is infinite. God is infinite. This is a glimpse. You've just given yourself permission to begin a journey. It might be fraught with danger and peril, but definitely filled with excitement. Okay? Your transformation is going to be amazing. Now, on the other hand, who here is sad or anxious about the possibilities? Some people get a little weirded out. It's like, oh. Okay, this is your road of trials. You've already begun a journey, and you didn't even realize it. This is part of the trials. You've just given this other glimpse. Find help. Get support. Read a book. Beat the fear, sadness, and anxiety. Read myths. Do as Perseus, who relied on the logic and wisdom of Athena to stay in the present moment and defeat the Gorgon Medusa. Although I think she got a bad rap. All these people coming into her house, wanting to clop off her head. She had to turn them to stone. That's another story. So in closing, the meaning of life might be love, but your dream goals and purpose should be to experience life and all the adventures that are here. From heeding the calls you were born into this world to crossing the final threshold and becoming the master of both. You're going to be reuniting the physical and the spiritual together. Or maybe you might just get up in front of a bunch of people and talk about mythology, happiness, and movies. Thank you for coming and listening to me. I really appreciate it.